Welcome back to Techonomics. I'm your host, Jason Middleton. Philip Engelhart is a veteran venture capitalist. He is the managing partner at Philquo Ventures. Philquo specializes in micro-investing. It's so specialized that Mr. Engelhart actually coined that phrase. A similar phrase trending in Silicon Valley right now is super angel as well. Philip unpacks where micro-investing succeeds in the Valley and tosses in advice for company founders looking for money. We also talked opportunities in Africa, but the big takeaway is how the entire economy needs overhauled to face the coming future, the growing entrepreneurial spirit. First, let's get micro with Philip Engelhart.
Let's talk about your firm for a second, because I was looking at it and it's right at the top on the flag. It says micro investing. Now, is that another term for super angel that seems to be like catching on right now in the Valley, or is it something different?
So really good question. The term I coined is micro investment banking. And in fact, it's also a URL, microinvestmentbanking.com, and it takes you into what we do. The concept's very simple. Most small companies that are growing up in the Bay Area today are sharp, cool, timely, full of smart young people growing, but their valuation, even if they're doing nicely, is a fraction of the minimum fee size at a house like Goldman Sachs.
Mm-hmm.
So where are they going to turn? And there are investment banks that have been built on coming down in size. But below that level, there is a huge amount of activity. Just to give you an idea.
Please.
At Plug and Play, there's over 10,000 applications a year that come in from all over the planet. And a few hundred companies get picked for each. They come in for 3 months' worth of camp, so on. Now, those small companies are very often two or three really bright kids with really good ideas.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to look at them and ask yourself, can they become a real business?
Right.
Can they become a company?
So they need growth management at some point.
At some point they need some money. They need that growth management that you're talking about, which comes in the part of a little bit of company management, a little bit of money management, and relationship management. And the relations in Silicon Valley are key. Small companies have great ideas that are of enormous value to some of the established big players. Cisco, Apple, Oracle. Any of the big names are likely to find something that's incubating and be able to pick up the technology on the spot.
Right.
It's a nice little payout for the entrepreneurs, but they're all dreaming of building a $1 billion company.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to pivot for a second because I've got you here in the chair, and I always ask this to VCs or anybody who's going to be an investor at some stage along the life cycle of a founded company, right? Do you always have a hip pocket question that you like to throw out at somebody during a pitch?
So one of the things that's intriguing is that the first thing you look at is the team. Do they feel right? Do you trust them? Do they have expertise? And then is the idea any good, right? And so one of the things you just have to ask them is, where do you see this 2 years out? And they should have a target.
Yes.
No one's going to – 2 years is a long time in the tech sector, by the way. But someone that's got a real vision of what they're trying to build, that's going to actually take the money – hire the engineers, put the wood behind the arrow, has got to have a goal. Now, maybe they'll get it done in 14 months. Maybe they'll get to critical mass in 30 months. But if they don't have that vision,
mm-hmm.
So it's, as a hip pocket question, you probably want to test the passion of
right.
the founders.
Right. One question I hear often is, if you weren't doing this, what would you be doing? And if you have an answer that is not exactly your pitch, then you shouldn't be in that room.
That's right. Well, you know, every one of us sometimes second guesses what you're actually doing. What's interesting today is you could find derivatives of what you're doing, and you could be doing it in a, let's call it a new age model. So there's a company called FlexJobs, and it founded on the premise that stay-at-home moms had time to give and had appetite for getting things done, running businesses, being productive.
Mm-hmm.
The entire business has grown up based on the premise that there is a huge workforce sitting in the home, able and willing to deliver the goods. Now, those people were doing other things before they had their kids, moved to another town, whatever was the cause, the dislocation in their life.
Mm-hmm.
They get themselves right back on track. So one of the great things about today's economy is that thanks to technology and innovation, you can almost always find something that will fit you. If you feel like being a productive member of society, there's an opportunity.
And there are tech tools to help you get there.
Yes.
You know, I'm hearing rumors, Philip, that commercial rental space in San Francisco is coming down. And I'm wondering if you've seen that because of the lack of demand from startups or other companies that are not branching out. Although I have to say that before it was sold, LinkedIn has a huge building next to our old studios right now. Deloitte just put up another building. Yelp just threw up another building. So I'm wondering how that's playing out from where you're sitting.
This is a topic I actually would like to raise with you.
Okay.
And that is that kids coming out of college today are not thinking about getting a 30-year career at J.P. Morgan. They got their hand out and they say, give me some money. I had a great idea in the dorm my junior year.
Mm-hmm.
So they're entrepreneurial by nature. They've grown up entrepreneurial. My kids are entrepreneurial. Their friends are entrepreneurial. All the kids I deal with all day in the Valley, entrepreneurial. They don't need big fancy offices. And frankly, an older generation needs to make room in the corner office for a younger generation. But to make this generation really productive, our institutions are going to have to change from being institutionally focused to being entrepreneurially focused.
Let's flesh that out a little bit. Give me an idea of which institution is the most in the way of this happening.
Let's take a look at the U.S. of A.
Okay, that's broad.
Now think about how we're set up. It's almost like redlining. We were saying if you don't work for a large company, you can't get decent health care.
Right.
If you're not of a certain substance, you can't get a mortgage. Because if your job is not with a large company that the bank knows and it's helped you generate a credit rating that's based on a lot of financial benefits that come from a large company, the entrepreneur has a harder time with all of those issues top down.
Mm-hmm.
Healthcare, financial services, and so on. So when you get a new administration, whenever that may be and whoever it may be, in the current era, it would be really important to take a look at from Washington to the state houses to the cities, counties, and into our large businesses to say, you know what? Our citizens are capable of being more productive in smaller groups. What needs to change?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not trying to give you the prescription. I'm just saying that would be the high-level discussion that needs to take place in places like Davos where business leaders try to figure out what's next.
Right.
And we have to become more entrepreneurial globally to accommodate this new generation of thinking because that's what the kids want, millennials and mm-hmm. and beyond. If they don't have it, it'll be very disruptive as they try to get it.
I'm glad you mentioned global because I have a question that sounds maybe a little bit out of left field, but I want to bring it back to what you just mentioned, the entrepreneurial spirit and Africa. I've been reading a lot about investment in Africa. You know, Microsoft put a big stake in there about 3-4 years ago. I see other places going that way too. Are you seeing that kind of pivot?
Absolutely. It's not something I personally specialize in, mm-hmm. but I've encountered a number of people who have. You and I were recently in an event where a hot topic was the economy that's built on flip phones and text messaging.
Right.
Now, think about what an eye-opener it is to look at a continent the size of Africa and understand how many of the countries now have infrastructure where people who heretofore have been completely off the grid are suddenly enabled.
Mm-hmm.
It's life-changing. It's crude technology to what we're used to here in the Valley, but it absolutely creates a microeconomy in a country like Kenya.
Right.
It's absolutely spectacular. And I love the entrepreneurs and the foundations. You got NGOs, you got individuals who go there, they see there's potential fortune, there's room to help. And when they come together in those places, I do think they're making a difference.
I spoke with an economist about this subject just last week, and he said that you need stable governments. And my point back was you need stable economies to have stable governments. And I think it's going to be ground up.
Excellent point, because if people aren't happy, they have a tendency to blame it on their government.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, just, again, look at the presidential election for this year.
Yeah.
Well, I've been able to run through all my questions, and I've picked your brain apart. Was there something left you wanted to talk about?
No, I think we touched on it. The big message in micro-investment banking is that people have to think about this micro-sized economy that has been growing beautifully. And don't forget, we've got to pitch our city. The second gold rush here in San Francisco is really what's driving everybody's imagination.
Mm-hmm.
So I think if all of us who are perhaps a little bit older than the generation of entrepreneurs, the people in the large institutions that make up the heritage of our city, are really open to innovation and letting a younger generation start to call the shots, I think – and by the way, I would put a few more women in office and in jobs. We only take on clients that have young women in leadership positions, as a matter of fact.
That's a running theme of this show, so I'm glad you mentioned that as well. So, Philip Engelhart, thank you so much for your time.
Pleasure to talk to you.
That was micro investment expert and veteran VC, Philip Engelhart. Thanks to him, Jason Calacanis, and Vivek Wadhwa for joining us this week. For producer Leanna Wilcox, I'm Jason Middleton, and this is Techonomics. Come on back next week.